gentlemen. At this time, I'd like to call our study session to order. I would like to take a moment to thank our orchestra from West Jefferson Middle School and their director, Laura Garrison Binning, for the wonderful performance this evening. It's actually pretty incredible that someone, an instructor of instrumental music, would have the courage to only have those students for 2 weeks in the school year and bring them to the boardroom. I was pretty impressed, I need to tell you that. We actually begin this evening's meeting with our principals and district staff speaking with us regarding school's achievement and growth as measured by CMAS. Board Ends Policy 2 states that every school and the district will ensure that every student has the opportunity to work towards being connected to career, college, and/or life aspirations with the expectation that every student will demonstrate a year or more of growth on their way to mastery of the Colorado academic standards. Last spring, Jeffco's students participated in CMAS testing, and tonight we will hear from our principals and staff on some of our student successes in our schools. Dr. Glass, do you have anything you'd like to add to that?
I don't. It's just the time of year to start taking a look at student data, and I'm excited about this conversation. I think Jeffco has some wonderful successes to celebrate.
Super. Thank you. And I think then I say welcome to Mr. Matt Flores. I would like to ask you, Matt, to please introduce the team of educators that you have with you tonight.
So good evening. Thank you so much for having us. We'll start with introductions. My name is Matt Flores. Of course, I have the privilege of serving as Chief Academic Officer.
Sherry Carter, I have the privilege of being the principal at Vivian Elementary.
Karen Brown, principal at Chelton Elementary.
Rod Pignetti, principal of the community at Drake Middle School.
Tom Burns, principal at Falcon Bluffs Middle School.
Wes Paxton, proud principal of Conifer High School.
So we are proud that many of our schools made growth in our CMAS results. Tonight, our team is looking forward to engaging in dialogue with you about the work that our schools have done to make these successes happen. But before we dive into this presentation, I would like to elevate that many of our schools could be representing their successes tonight. We only picked a handful to share this evening. Moreover, in addition to CMAS results, we value many data points to demonstrate student success. From our Make Your Voice Heard survey to college and career readiness, and of course, teacher feedback, in Jeffco, we honor a variety of data points as a body of evidence to demonstrate the success of our students. Tonight, we'll start with Vivian Elementary School and their principal, Sherry Carter.
It is my fifth year at Vivian, and I would like to thank you for allowing me to share a little bit about our school this evening. As you can see, Vivian, I think that's the next slide. There you go. As you can see, Vivian is a very small Title I school, and we are the home of the deaf and hard of hearing students that use both total communication and signing in the district, and 27% of our students are on IEPs. Often we hear that hard work pays off in the classroom. However, it may take years for it to translate to the scores from state tests. We now know that change can happen quickly if the right levers are used. Our growth has taken more than hard work. Fast implementation of new learning and a laser focus on our major improvement strategies have made the difference for us. Theory becomes action at Vivian. The minute we look at our growth data, it did something magical for us at Vivian. It lit a spark. Our whole community is buzzing with positive momentum and energy to continue the work because we've seen evidence from multiple avenues that this does work. This is changing our culture and public perception. Our focus last year as a building was around reading, and by looking at our growth scores, we can see that the practices are translating to our math instruction as well. We began the 2016-17 school year as a priority improvement school. As such, we joined the CDE Turnaround Network, which is a 3-year grant that provides professional learning for schools in priority or turnaround status. We moved to improvement through the appeal process last year, and due to our growth data, we are now a performance school. Woohoo! This is a huge celebration for Vivian. We had a big green party. Last year we had a yellow party, and now we had a green party. And it was a priority improvement school when I went in, and that was my goal, is let's flip this. And so it's been a ton of hard work. Our major improvement strategy from our UIP, our two last year, were creating a culture of shared accountability and becoming a professional learning community. We knew that collaboratively engaging in the right work would build our culture of shared accountability. Last year was our first year to join the JEFCO PLC cohort, and we combined this learning in addition to the data-driven instructional practices and structures that we received through the CDE training. These structures enabled teams to unpack standards, determine what proficiency looked like for each standard, and create exemplars. With the support of our instructional coach, who has been a key lever for us, teachers now bring student work to the table weekly for progress monitoring. Then they script lessons and role play with each other before they ever deliver instruction to students, which are the most important people they should be giving that demonstration to. Another key lever for us was to implement weekly observation and feedback cycles for teachers to grow in both management techniques and rigorous instruction. Through our CDE professional learning, we developed a system that enables teachers to get better faster. This ensures that every student gets what they deserve, the very best instruction every single day. Our school is now a data-driven community. Students, teachers, and families are embracing this mindset. We are progress monitoring our individual, class, and school goals, and data is visible school-wide. Students even have their own data notebooks, and they enjoy tracking their own growth. Our collaborative engagement and observation and feedback and data-driven instruction have created a culture of shared accountability for our staff. The Vivian community celebrates learning and growing every day. This year, we are excited to hold a daily community meeting in which we come together as a school to celebrate and set the tone for learning each morning. Please come by some time and see the great things that are happening at Vivian.
Thank you.
And Karen Brown at Shelton Elementary. We serve kindergarten through sixth grade. It's not up there, but we last year had an autism spectrum disorder lab, which adds great diversity to our school. Our free and reduced lunch is about 30, it says 36, but we're about 39, 40, and we'll see with this year. We took on part of Pleasant View, welcoming them, so that's adding to our population. Let's go ahead and go to the next one. So looking at our scores, we, as all schools, we love the color blue. So we've made some tremendous growth in a couple different areas. We went for all students from a 54 to 67 English language arts and a 49 to 57 in math. Our English language learners, overall, their growth has typically been pretty high. Our free and reduced in our males, we've made growth on that with the last year as well. And it's important, too, that we also keep in mind our ALP population, that we keep them moving and growing upwards, and we've done that as well. So thinking about how did we get there, I wish I could tell you that it was just this is what we did, and this is what works, and I'm going to share it with everybody so that everybody gets the same results. But it's just not that easy because we deal with people and we deal with kids. We at Shelton have highly skilled educators. For example, we have, three who actually participated in the School of Mines in the summer, and they go for 6 weeks. They work with one of the Mines professors, and they do research, and we had, I think, two last year, and then I think maybe one or two this year. But anyway, they come with such excitement about science and math and the partnership that we have with School Minds, that they bring some of those resources and that knowledge to them, to the classroom. So they're doing things on their own outside of the classroom and then bringing it back in. We're hiring more and more teachers that really have a better understanding of gifted and talented students and what we can do to really challenge all kids. We do a really good job of meeting kids where they're at, whether they need interventions, one spectrum or the other. This last year, the last 2 years, we've had an evaluation coach, which I think is such a strong program. Having one person trying to evaluate and do it effectively, evaluate, 30 teachers, it's very difficult to be in there often, and we know that when we give more feedback, that's how we improve the practice. So by giving more feedback, by having an evaluation coach there, really helped to get more feedback, two sets of eyes that you can calibrate and make sure that what you're seeing is what somebody else is seeing. And teachers really, the very first year we did that, not too keen. After that, they were like, oh yeah, sure, I'll be in. So they realized it's really here to help them. Systemic practices across grade levels. Instead of picking and saying, we do have a new writing program, but I can't say it's that either. It's really the fact that we were systemic, that we really focused on things that affect all subject areas. So learning targets, success criteria, we had a laser-like focus on, so what are kids learning? That's the focus for today, and how will they know they're successful? And kids, just thinking about what kids said 2-3 years ago to now, is amazing, because 3 years ago you ask a little kid, what are you learning and how will you know you're successful? And I had a little kindergartner say, well, I know I'm successful, well, because I'm going to be successful. And so you get from that to being more specific exactly of what they're going to do, and they know what they're doing. We focus on engagement strategies. Everything we do is focused on mission and vision, and keep going back to what are we here for, what are we doing, and really working together. And I think most importantly, because we are in a people business, it's relationships, and we know that we can't move forward and teach and do what we need to do till we have a good relationship with us and with our students and our staff. We have a very supportive community at Shelton. We have Golden Civic Foundation, Golden Schools Foundation. They support us monetarily and physically. They do a great job. We have strong supportive community, and I just feel that Shelton is a great place to be, a great place to work, and a great place for kids to learn.
Thank you.
Good evening, guys. It's good to see you again. Dr. Glass, it's an honor to present in front of you for the first time. So thank you for having me. My name is Rod Pignetti. I'm principal at Drake Middle School. Drake is located in Arvada and is part of the Arvada West Articulation Area. As I'm sure you know, the north area is kind of convoluted, so we kind of consider ourselves part of the Ralston Valley area as well, because those lines seem to cross quite often. And so probably 2/3 of our students go to A-West, 1/3 of them go to Ralston Valley. That changes with choice, of course, but that's kind of what we're looking at. If you look at our data, our data is blue. We do love the color blue. And if you compare the school column to the district and the state, you can see that it is a challenge at the middle level to achieve the way that Drake Middle School has achieved. The piece that I'm the most proud of is that if you look back about 8 years, you're going to see blue in every year. Our consistency has been there, and we show small steps of growth every year. It's not the big jumps, but we start from a high place, and we continue to grow each year in both language arts and math. So as we talk about why, highly skilled staff. I can't begin to tell you the importance of the person standing in front of the kids. If they are not prepared, if they do not have time to bring it every day, the kids are going to suffer. And I think if you heard from all five of us, you're going to hear the same thing, that the number one most important thing is the teacher standing in front of those kids. And at Drake Middle School, I put my staff up against any others just because they are highly skilled and they care. They truly are a part of the fabric of who we are, and it really doesn't matter what's asked of them. They're going to rise to the occasion and make sure that what they present to kids is what they believe is the best thing. So I want to start there. The collaborative planning for us is vital. We make sure that our staff has time to talk. We make sure that our staff has time within the PLC process. We are a year three school to discuss data, whether it's data like you're seeing tonight from the year before, or if they're talking about data from an assessment they have just given, and adjustments are made within the department and the grade levels on the spot. So that time for staff to work together, that time to discuss what's in front of them is highly important. And we're also a school created of teams. Teams, quick definition, is about 150 kids per four cores, math, language, arts, science, and social studies. And within that, it allows them to keep track of the fewer number of kids. Instead of all 700, it allows them to keep track of 150. And when they sit down and talk data, it's focused on individual kids who they know intimately. So I think that collaborative planning piece and the PLC process is incredibly important to what we do at Drake. Our individual educator goals, it's a requirement from me that they all write a goal on concerning writing. So every one of my teachers writes an individual educator goal on writing, and they are asked to progress monitor that, and then we sit down and discuss where they're at along throughout the year. They tend to kick back on that one a little bit because they're pretty proud of their content. So I allow them to split that goal, the 30 points that they can earn within the evaluation process. They can split it and go 15 content but 15 writing. But every educator in my building has a writing goal, because if we can't get the kids to put down on paper what they actually know, they don't know that they know it. So I think that's very important for all of us to keep in mind. Professional development, we work hard to get our staff what they need. We ask them quite often what it is that they need. And then we also bring them things that either come from the district or come from what we see in evaluations as areas of need. And we try to provide that in a very small setting. One size fits all professional development is a waste of time, in my opinion. And I kind of can be opinionated at times. But we also use our own staff to present to each other, and they have a high respect for each other. So when you can put two or three people in front of a group of peers with that level of respect, they tend to want to make it work on both ends. And so you get some big bang for your buck as that comes out the side when they're standing in front of kids. And I'm going to take this minute right now to thank the five of you for number five up there. If it wasn't for a decision that you guys made to provide us the funding for an additional, well, it's actually a new position, a social emotional learning specialist last year, we would not be able to include that up there. And I cannot tell you what that has done for our building. It provides support for students in an area that our two counselors really do not have time to do. It provides an opportunity for us to bring families in and work together with the families and parents and staff. It just allows us to teach kids how to talk to adults in a much bigger fashion than what we had before. We've turned our social emotional learning specialist into a counseling department of four. We include our social worker along with our two counselors. And the work that they do with everybody from our kids all the way up to our families is simply, I cannot tell you how important that is to what we're doing. And as we transition sixth graders into our building, which we are highly excited about, can't say I'm excited about the next 2 years of construction and the transition, but after that, when we're able to start working on the instruction process and have those kids for 3 years, I can't even begin to tell you how excited I am.
Thank you.
There you go.
Again, my name is Tom Burns, principal at Falcon Bluffs Middle School. Thank you for the opportunity today to share and, I guess, brag a little bit about Falcon Bluffs. In 2003, I had the opportunity to join the team to open Falcon Bluffs. I was working at Deer Creek Middle School, and a team of teachers went from Deer Creek over to Falcon when it opened. So taught there for about 10 years, and it's a beautiful facility. If you don't know where it's at, it's near Kipling and C-470, so out in the south in there. But a very strong, active community, very supportive. I live in the community as well, and it's just an awesome place to work. It's really good. You can see from our growth scores, Falcon Bluffs is very excited. All stakeholders are excited about the growth. If you look at the top line there, the all students for ELA moving from 43 to 69.5, and then in math, 55 to 62. So although very difficult, as I know it is for everyone up here, to pick and land on a few things that contributed to that, I want to share at least four things here that Falcon Bluffs implements. Last year especially, we paused and had a pretty strong focus on our culture and relationships. I am of the belief that relationships is fundamental in the learning environment. How are we asking kids to relate to each other? How are adults relating to kids? And how are adults relating to each other, really? It's building strong relationships is such an impact. So after the previous 3 years, we had a little bit of turnover, so we all agreed, let's just pause and kind of talk through that and reflect on that, have some honest, open discussions, which actually led to the third bullet down there, the third point, reflection. In those conversations, we revisited our mission and our vision and decided to come up with some collective commitments. What we really hold dearly and what we want people who come through Falcon Bluffs, kids and families, everyone to think, boy, that is their, those are their non-negotiables. When we leave Falcon, we know that about them. So those six commitments, after a lot of dialogue and a lot of brainstorming, we landed on those six things, and as you can see, relationships is part of that. But I do think there's a lot of growth in stopping and just pausing with a staff and going through that reflective process. That was what last year was about for us. PLCs as well, this is our second year now, so our first year last year, and it was certainly a shift in thinking. Great stuff with the PLC initiative there, in that moving from some of the typical planning conversations, getting away from that as far as when we're going to do it, and more into essential learnings and the why behind it. Why are we doing this? And how is this impacting kids? And now this year, we're really embarking on common assessments, formative and summative, and using those discussions. I think that in order to have those discussions, I go back to relationships. You've got to be able to be vulnerable and authentic. Without that, you're just going through the motions. So anyway, the PLCs opened up some new thinking for us. And then finally, resources. And to me, this is a hard one, because I believe that's a variable that constantly changes. If we're doing the right work, I think we should constantly be looking and updating and getting ideas from other schools. So last year, I put a few things up there, but rather than break them all down for you, I can just tell you there were some common themes. I met with both English and math, and the same things came out. One is collaboration. It is built into many of those resources, CPM, MDC, some of the stuff that's up there. Collaboration is built in with students regularly and consistently. And again, relationships ties into that. But to have kids collaborate on just a variety of topics, I think is important, along with a productive struggle. And this was unique for me. It was a learning last year. I sat in on a few different classes, and when I was there, there was a couple of points early on. I had talked to the teacher afterwards and said, boy, couldn't we have gotten to this point if you would have just given them this information up front and almost front-load it and let's get moving? And they said, but that's the whole point. It is that productive struggle. It's getting them to articulate where they're at in their learning and be able to explain their rationale behind it. That is that long-term retention piece. So it was learning for me, too, and I believe in it. I think that productive struggle and certainly having success along the way, that's part of it, no doubt. But I think maybe slowing down from the amount of information and letting kids process through that together has made a significant difference for Falcon Bluffs.
Thank you. It's always tough to go last,
Wes. Actually, I'm following. I was going to say it's an honor to be up here in front of you with these outstanding principals and the work that they're doing that I learned earlier before this presentation. And it's a sincere privilege to work in this district, which is a phenomenal district. So thank you very much. As was mentioned, I'm principal of Conifer High School, proud of the work that my staff is doing every day with our students. It's a privilege to be in the Conifer Articulation Area. The work that we do is a tribute to the work at Elk Creek Elementary School, West Jeff Elementary School, Marshall Elementary School, Parmalee, and West Jeff Middle School. The reason we're one of the top three neighborhood high schools in the state of Colorado is because of the work of the elementary middle school staff and administrators to helping prepare our students for Conifer High School and the rigor that we prepare for them. We're the second smallest high school in the district. We have 21 AP courses. We have a phenomenal performing and visual arts program at the school, a growing career and technical education program, and one of the best marketing programs, our DECA program, stands out among all the programs in the state of Colorado. It's a phenomenal program. We also service a very large area of the South Mountain area of Jefferson County School District, and so our students travel a significant distance to come to school every day. That's right, there we go. To look at that data and see that our students grew a year and a half in a year's time is pretty impressive. I attribute that to the collaboration of my staff, the hard work of my staff and the students really setting goals for themselves to achieve this. And so it's really a team effort at my school. Last year we looked at two main goals. One is to increase the use of active reading strategies for our students, focusing on comprehension, fluency, and vocabulary. And so we use close reading strategies to really make sure the students are really engaged in what they're reading and they're actively reading it, so it's active annotation work that they're doing. We allow them to make mistakes, to challenge their thinking. So there's a lot of interaction among the students when they're reading, talking to each other, like, did you understand this? What did you understand from it? Conversations with the teacher to making sure the students really are analyzing the text. The next thing is we looked at making sure we match the teachers with the students' needs. And so last year I was very fortunate to have staff, and I still have that this year, say that, is that we focus making sure that the relationship those students build with their teacher helps them reach success. And so we really are very strategic about making sure we assign them accordingly. The other aspect of that is there's a strong collaboration amongst teachers in different departments. So the close reading strategies that were used in the English classes were also used in the social studies classes. Whether students take an AP Human Geography, World Geography, or U.S. Government, they're also seeing those same strategies used. And so they see the commonality of it, and it also supports them in their reading and their writing also. In math, you've heard a little bit about the MDC approach. Last year, we adopted that approach for our ninth grade teachers. And it's a very successful in having the students do that productive struggle, having them work collaboratively on understanding the math concepts. And we've embedded some work in there, like study skills and helping students really understand what they don't understand and helping them learn from that. We also do some intervention strategies, too, so we've expanded that this year in helping those students who are just not quite sure or not understanding that concept to provide that extra support so they can really get that, so they can experience success in math. And it shows for the last 2 years the growth we saw in the math scores. And so our staff work collaboratively with helping them and making sure that they get that support. We also use the MAP data to monitor our students, and our students set goals based on their MAP data results. So they say, okay, here's my results now. What do I need to work on for the next steps? Those of you who visited Conifer High School will see this when you walk in the door. We have a strong relationship between staff and students. Students feel very supported at school. We make sure that we really center our efforts around them. We've got our learning center that we have there, which is award-winning, if I could say that, in that we make sure that every student is supported. If we see a student struggle, we make sure that we put some supports, whether it's academic, attendance, or behavior. We make sure we put supports in place because we want to make sure we address their needs immediately so that we can help them on their pathway. So we have a strong intervention model. We have grade level RTI meetings that meet once a month where the teachers get together and talk about the students and say, okay, why is the student not understanding or why are they struggling? What can we do to support them? And then twice a month we have school-wide RTI meetings where we talk about the students and making sure those supports are put in place, whether it's a tier one, tier two, or tier three, support those students and making sure that they're achieving. And we also use the transition report, which is a great report that the district provides us when the students transition to the high school, of making sure that we understand what the students' needs are, where their struggles were at the middle school, and how do we address to make sure that they don't continue to struggle while they're at the high school. And so, as was mentioned by my colleagues up here, I would strongly encourage you to come visit Conifer High School and to see what great work we're doing at school. So thank you.
Thank you. With that, Matt, do you have more to add?
Well, I just wanted to summarize a bit of what we heard. I think Karen Brown from Shelton said it well. It's not one thing that makes a difference, and if it was, we would use it for every single kid. But what we learned is it starts with dedicated teachers who are willing to collaborate, and focus around common goals and be able to customize the learning for our kids. I think the focus on essential learnings help us to provide relevant tasks that provide productive struggle for students. Additionally, culture plays a big difference, where students feel safe and welcome and trusted and respected because of the relationships they have with the teachers in the building. It makes a big difference because learning is about taking risks, and you need to be in a comfortable culture to be able to do that. Lastly, I wanted to suggest one thing you didn't hear from any of these leaders, that it does take a dedicated, capable, hardworking principal, of which we have five here and many, many more throughout our district. So very humble group, I would say, but a very proud group, and we're lucky to have them and all of our other principals and leaders in JEFCO. So at this time, we'll do our best to answer any questions that you have, and would love to turn it back over to you.
Any comments or questions from the board?
I would love to hear more about at each level, elementary, middle, and high, because each of you talked about shared responsibility and collaboration, and I think all of you but one used PLC. I don't know how you would do PLCs in the high school because it seems like everyone's teaching something different. But you mentioned collaboration. So I would love to hear how you're using your PLCs. Is it during the planning period? Is it before school, after school? Is it vertical? Is it horizontal? Is it department? Is it, please teach me how you're getting the PLCs to work, because it seems like the schools that are working are having great success.
So this year, what we're doing, because we're so small, is we really don't have an option other than having vertical teaming. So we are doing them on Tuesdays, and we have used our title funds to pay for a full-time digital teacher librarian for two reasons. One was to help us integrate the technology that we're getting from Title I and making sure that it's not just, it's really an instructional tool. It's just not the latest and greatest. And so we do an extended planning time for teachers so that they can have a 90-minute time on Tuesdays, and we team K2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then we also give them an extended period of time on Thursdays where we have our affective, our social worker is doing some affective lessons to lengthen their planning period time, and that's when we do our feedback, our weekly feedback cycles on anything we've observed during the week.
Okay. At the middle level, we set our master schedule up by departments. So all of our math teachers, all of our language arts teachers are off at the same time every day. And they have agreed, even though it's probably not within their contract to do so, to give one of those up a week. And then they set which day, whether it's Monday through Friday, which day that they meet. And they plan together. They talk to individual kids. They look at data. They do those kinds of things. So we set it up through our master schedule by department. And it's both vertical as well as horizontal, because we have grade level teams within the department, or they meet as just a math team. So it works both ways for us. We still hold on to that teaming piece, as I mentioned, but they've agreed to meet to do those meetings after school, and they do those every Tuesday.
Thank you.
Very similar, middle of the day for us, once a week.
So the collaboration process at Conifer High School is really important to the staff in that we set aside 45 minutes every week in the morning, so we have a late start, where the staff gets together as departments and they look at the data and then they do common planning based off of what they're seeing in the data to make sure they address it. So to answer your question, we have a department goal that all of the people in the department contribute to and commit to, and then they work in their teams, which may be two-person teams, on collaboration to address that department goal. And so that we break it down to make sure that we meet the needs of the teachers within that department.
Thank you. Did you want to add anything about Shelton? Or?
Well, I can add that we are last to get on the PLC list, so this is our first year. So we've just been doing it we're just actually getting started. So in the planning process, we've looked at doing very similar to a 90-minute planning period, and so butted up against art, music, or PE, and then with same thing with social worker technology, and then the third one, knowing, with our population and not all kids can do after-school enrichment, we were trying to find some ideas of like coding or chess or critical thinking, something fun and engaging that kids can do so they would get that like once every 3 weeks, so that by the time, for example, with chess, by the time everybody leaves elementary school, they at least know, you know, how to play chess, and that would be just for a short period, and then something else. So just rotating it and making sure the kids are engaged.
Thank you.
Let Let me start by saying thank you for your hard work and for surrendering yet another evening of your time where you could be with families. We really appreciate it. We learn a lot from your leadership. I really want to also just commend the fact that you guys seem to be these symphony conductors, that there's a real music, a real art to the science of learning, and I appreciate that you're willing to lead that. I want to first ask, as an ELA teacher, I'm seeing in Falcon Bluffs and Conifer major swings in your growth scores. What do you attribute that to regarding the practice of your staff and students?
I actually go back a little bit to our PLC conversations. I think talking to our ELA department, they would share that it's those conversations. Really, give you an example, the two seventh grade social studies, or excuse me, ELA teachers or social studies, but would meet once a week and dissect, again, essential learnings. They've moved away from all planning conversations and do that at another time and just focus on that learning. And they'll use map data, and I had IXL written on there. It's just another approach. It's almost like a Khan Academy thing. It's online where you can get extra support.
I wondered. Thanks for mentioning. Yep. IXL, that's new.
Yep, very similar. So it's just another strategy for kids to plug in. It's not really about the grading. It's for them to find where perhaps they need a little bit more support. But I think our language arts department would talk a lot about just the collaborative time and structured collaborative time that maybe we haven't always had in the past.
So when you say they've shelved planning conversations, you're talking about how they structure their time as teachers. They've shifted to essential learnings. What do kids need to know? How do we know they know it? What do we do when they don't or when they already do?
Exactly. And some of the planning conversations still important, but yeah, finding other opportunities for
to
that.
Do it.
Another plan opportunity or another time to do that as far as what and when.
So I've mentioned something very similar to that, in that what was unique this last year, which we hadn't done before as much, was the collaboration across the content areas, where the social studies department really adopted a lot of the strategies that the English department was using as helping the students read and write. And so that collaboration really helped us leap forward, which we saw last year, and we're continuing that work this year because we realized that that made a huge difference in our students' success.
So students' ELA scores really are attributable to all of the reading, writing, and thinking that they're doing across all of their content areas.
You are correct, yes.
That's good and matches what they'll need to know how to do well in life. I want to jump to this idea of math design, collaboration, design, math. That seems like it may be a new experience for students. Math, when I was a student, was very procedural, and this is asking students to struggle productively, to think about thinking. How hard is that for students to step into? What kind of makes that successful, or what's critical to the success of that kind of deeper critical thinking skill when it comes to their maths?
Well, I would answer in that you really need to make sure you set the norms in the classroom and the supports in the classroom and the relationships so that students feel comfortable with those struggles. You want an environment where students feel like they can depend on each other to understand the concepts, and the teacher has to be really knowledgeable about math skills so that they can identify when the students are struggling and what they're struggling with, so that they can come in that just-in-time support to help them. Okay, you're struggling with this concept or skill, let me provide you some information with that, and then you continue with your work. It allows the students also to apply what they know in a different type of way, so that it's always not dependent upon the teacher, it's dependent upon them really learning the material and understanding it. As you mentioned earlier, the way you may have learned, sometimes it's I get through the units, and sometimes I don't really ever really apply that skill maybe as much or to carry that forward. And this really reinforces that effort of saying, hey, you need to know this more than just this moment. You're going to have to use it again and again and again.
And just to add to that, I think Wes hit that, but it is tapping into prior knowledge. And there's an art form to that for teachers to sit down and rather than give a quick response, you know, give a question instead and ask kids to reflect back to a previous learning. And again, it's that collaborative piece. They're working with two or three other students, perhaps a similar misconception, and they began to throw those ideas around. But a lot of it is that upfront work as well, letting students know it's okay. There's going to be a little bit of a struggle here. And then it's just push back, push back, push back.
Part of your question was, is it hard for students? I would beg to differ that it's harder for teachers than it is for students, because this meets the learning style of our kids, and they are able to do things their way and then apply it. It's that letting go that teachers for years are not used to, and letting that classroom just kind of become a reverse type classroom where the kids do the learning and you know they just kind of support that. I think it's more difficult sometimes for teachers to let go than it is for the students to pick it up.
And I would tag on to that to say, and for us as well. That's why I brought that up. I mean, that was my first point of feedback. How can we get them there a little bit quicker? And they were quick to say, that's the whole point. That's the learning process in there. And maybe more that traditional mindset of let's get moving. And I think there's a lot to letting them struggle through that a little bit. I mean, assisting, but letting them struggle through that.
And I just wanted to add, like, at the elementary level, same thing. But also, it's the language that you use and having a growth mindset. Letting them know, yes, you don't know that yet, or you don't have this part yet, but you're gonna. I have faith in you. So.
I'd love to jump back to Ms. Carter. I saw that you mentioned project-based learning, PBL. Was that, am I reading your... Or is it,
are we? Yeah, I did know. I did say that.
Tell me what that's like, because I know that that's, again, it feels like in the same way that the design math collaboration.
Right. And so we, so last year I set up times for teachers to actually meet with some district personnel that have more experience in that and helping design those for kids. And I know for teachers, for some, it was lovely and they were excited to do it. Some of them weren't quite sure how to approach that, but I think with the support and given the time to plan it and to see it all the way through the planning stages and who's your authentic audience, and it's really just about authentic learning and authentic tasks. And so even this year when we're talking about project-based learning or problem-based learning, it's not really about, oh, you have to do a PBL. It's what elements are present in a PBL that you can incorporate in everything that you do, reading, writing, math, science. So maybe it's kind of taken maybe that label off a little bit, but let's look at the elements. And I'm confident that in our PLCs that we're going to be doing that, making sure that we meet the needs of all our kids.
It's not just another box to check. It really is driving the learning.
Well, and here's an example. So we had fourth grade, they put together a PBL, and theirs was, how can we get more kids interested in the science fair? In engineering and science math. And so her kids figured out what they were going to do, and they went and through this whole process, we ended up having, at this time we had 460 kids. I think we had over 200 kids participate in the math and science, or in the science fair. So it was awesome and amazing. So it's just good all around.
Drives them. It's pretty, they're engaged. Well, thank you. Ms. Brown, I apologize.
Yes, you can call me whenever you want. We're good.
So then, Ms. Carter, I want to just start by saying congratulations and a huge congratulations to your entire staff. I know it was years invested, and it's a big deal. That status, that change in color, it's not just a title. It's about learning that's happening in the students' lives, and that'll positively impact them forever. So let me just ask you this. When it comes to being a priority improvement or a turnaround school, who wants to turn that learning around? What are the time, resources, and strategies that for your school were critical? And what do you think we can learn as a district, as a system?
You know, I think that that's something I think the district really has to look hard at. I know Karen and I have, Karen Kwanbeck and I, she was my achievement director until this year. We had been racking our brains. What do we do? How do we do it? How fast can we do it? What's the magic bullet? And it's a lot of hard work and trying to figure out exactly where do we go, what do we need. The CDE turnaround network strategies and procedures that learning that we've been going through has been key for us. Another piece is, you know, as a district, when a school is priority improvement, I think it should take priority. And I think in the past, that's not really been how things have functioned. Not that we have not lost the sense of urgency, but I really think that that needs to be elevated in the district. And sometimes the professional learning that other people do, it's not the right learning for what we need when we need it. And so a couple of years ago, we really concentrated on PBLs, and I think we really needed to switch to content mastery until we could get that, but not throw out the baby with the bathwater either, because our teachers are still doing PBLs, but a lot of our work is on content mastery. And so I think as the district looks at priority improvement schools and ways in which that we need to do it, I mean, we just grabbed on to everything that we learned, and we implemented it fast. We were a first-year PBL, and again, because my instructional coach had been through all of that training, she knew where she needed to move us, and together we decided how fast we were going to move. And instead of us being on the slow track, we just jumped in, and we've been fast-tracking everything that we've been learning, making mistakes along the way. But I just feel that it's, the sky's the limit now for Vivian. And there's a big shadow over a priority improvement school. 3 years ago, I was asked to come before a different board my first year as being a principal and explain why my scores were so bad. And so I had a little bit of PTSD coming tonight because now we have a big celebration. But I think the shifting of really getting the supports in place at the district level, I know Karen and I talked about having a red phone status almost of I need this, I need different supports, I need different pieces to really help. And being in such a small school, it's very difficult with the budget that we've had trying to figure all of those pieces out. So did I answer?
You did. High fives and hugs to you.
Thank you. I'd high five and hug you, too. That's really who I am. Thank you very much.
I appreciate hearing
I think story. Our superintendent would like to comment or perhaps ask a question.
Quick poll or question for you. Could you go around and tell me how long you've been at your schools?
This is my fifth year at Vivian and my fifth year as a principal.
This is my 10th year at Shelton, but fourth year as principal.
This is my eighth year as principal at Drake.
Taught at Falcon for 10 years, second year as principal.
This is my fifth year at Conifer High School, my 25th year in education.
Thank you. Okay. I'd like to, one, point out and agree with Matt that leadership really does matter in the schools, and you all were very humble and not necessarily taking credit, but there are some common themes and examples of that. One is your tenacious commitment to not allowing a child to fail. And second, treating the children as individuals, setting aside time for people to actually collaborate and strategize about an individual student. What's going to help this child get them to where they need to be? And having that kind of intensity of focus on the individuals, I think it takes a lot of passion and leadership on your part. It takes a lot of time and attention on the part of all of your teachers, and great credit, I think, is deserved. I think also you create an atmosphere of trust among your students. They have to have faith that you do care about their success and their best interests, or they're not going to participate. They're not going to play ball with you. And so you've had to have achieved that as school leaders. Good for you. Thank you.
Other comments? Go ahead, Susan.
Thank you for your presentation. I have been in many of your buildings, and what you brought to us today is what I see when I'm in your buildings. It's that feeling that every child matters, every day, every moment is important. So thank you for bringing that and bringing it to us so more people can see that and hear that. Your candor, too, about we're all continuing to learn, I so appreciate. And I think parents appreciate that, too. It's a different style. It's a different concept. And getting that buy-in across the board when you're able to candidly say, well, why can't we just do this way? We need to get here. I think a lot of parents think that same thing. So thank you for bringing that to the kids so that they're bringing it home as well, that we go full circle on that. But I'm really excited about everything that you said, and thank you so much. And bring the thank you back to the teachers. I know you're already celebrating, but please share our feeling of celebration with them as well, because this is so exciting. Thank you.
I just wanted to say one more thing. It seems to me like when I evaluate everything you're saying, the sense of systemness you have created among your school has allowed your staff to have worthwhile conversations and vulnerable conversations, which is the only way we're going to move forward. And I really appreciate that, because that's you setting up a safe environment for your staff to take risks and for your staff to allow your students to take risks, which is really important. Your six critical commitments, I mean, not a single one of those are measurable, but every single one of those are essential for success in life and for success in setting your school up for success. So I can't wait to see what we're going to do with these conversations. Our average FRL rate is 33% across the district. We have two schools presenting here who are above that and three who are below that. And I really hope that we can share these stories, share these with like communities, because I think what you're all doing is just fantastic, and thank you for your commitment.
Brad, go ahead.
So I have a question directed at Dr. Glass, and that is that when you look at the numbers and our numbers get compared to the state, the reality is that we represent 10% of the state. And so our numbers have lifted the state. That's a cause for success. But it also is a sort of cause of, okay, but we maybe not, we shouldn't perhaps be comparing ourselves to the state. What should we be comparing ourselves to in terms of setting goals for where we want to be as a district?
Well, I think hearing the stories that you heard tonight from these principals and looking at Jeffco's overall achievement results, there are two big takeaways, I think, that we can pull from that. One is that Jeffco continues to outperform the state almost across the board. And Jeffco is now expanding that lead over the rest of the state because the growth rates are higher in almost every case as well. Mm-hmm. So Jeffco outperforms the state, and Jeffco is now expanding the lead over the rest of the state. So those are
which will just make the other districts resentful.
Right. Those are encouraging things. So precise to your question is what should we be comparing to? And you know that I'm a big believer in benchmarking. And so I think what Jeffco should be doing is looking at the best performing systems in Colorado, around the nation and around the country, looking at the kinds of the kind of performance you see in those systems, and then setting our target against those. In some of our performance areas, we're meeting and exceeding, I think, some of those benchmarks, and in others, we have work to do. But I think what we can do going forward is start identifying what are some other systems that we think are benchmarks that are similar to us, that we aspire to meet or exceed, and then setting some of our targets in growth and proficiency against those.
And it's you people that are absolutely going to get us there. Thank you.
And I guess as I think we're ready to conclude this presentation, I want to say thank you for the hard work you do. I was listening pretty carefully. You didn't use the term hard work, but I know it is. It takes a lot of work. It's a complex issue. You didn't give us a silver bullet, and I didn't think you would. But you gave us a couple of themes that I personally will choose to walk away with. And you know, maybe they reflect my biases as opposed to what you just shared. I don't know. But I'm going to walk away from the table tonight saying, you know what, collaboration matters. Relationship building with students matters. Relationships in our schools are important. And so we learn what we can. But I appreciate the work that all of you are doing out there, and thank you very much for your presentation here this evening. Thank you, Mr. Flores.
Thank you.
With that, we are going to take a 10-minute break before we begin our regular session board meeting this evening.